Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the NTRA Road to the Triple Crown 2018 conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, participants are asked to press star 1 to register for a question. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Jim Mulvihill. Please go ahead.
All right. Thanks so much, Cassie, and welcome, everyone. We've got a really jam-packed hour today. Since we've got four guests, we were lucky to nab Bob Baffert to come on short notice after yesterday's announcement that Justify is going to race Saturday in the Santa Anita Derby. So without further ado, let's get right to the good stuff. As usual, I'll just ask a few of the most obvious questions, and then we'll open it up to all of you to either follow up or ask about whatever you please. So let's go ahead. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Thanks for being here, as always. For starters, maybe you can just tell us about the decision to run Justify this week as opposed to waiting for the Arkansas Derby as had been expected.
Well, I mean, a lot of it that had to do with it was the fact that I was, you know, I had McKenzie lined up here, and then after the defection of McKenzie, then I thought, well, you know, why, you know, I wanted to keep them separated, and so when it came up, I decided to run him here. If he worked well, you know, I don't have to ship him now. So, so basically, that was the main the part of the thinking that went into that.
Great. And before we get more into the Santa Anita Derby, can you just give us an update on McKenzie, and is there any more information on his injury?
Yeah, he's he's fine. He's everything. The X-rays were all clean. He did something in his hock, and the nuke scan had a little lit up in that area. So I think he jammed it. So we're going to wait another 10 days and rescan him. But he was just a little off one morning. He was going to go to the track, and we were hoping it was a foot, but it was nothing. There was no swelling or nothing. So then he was fine the next day, but the nuke scan did show a little something going on in the hock. And so we're just being very cautious. And so that's why, you know, I'm not even, you know, I think it's going to really, you know, his derby chances, it's, you know, every day that he doesn't go to the track, it's obviously, you know, not in his favor. So we're just going to let him, whatever is going on there, just let it heal up on its own. So there's nothing we can do, just wait.
All right. Well, thanks for that update. And I'm going to step aside, and we'll let the media ask some questions. Cassie?
As a reminder, that is star 1 for questions. We'll take our first question from Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Bob, how are you?
I was doing fine. Everything's fine here until McKenzie had that little setback, but he should be fine in a couple of weeks.
Does this mean you're putting, with the lineup changes, are you putting Salamini in the Arkansas Derby, or is he still going to run somewhere else?
Yes, he goes, Salamini goes to Arkansas. We have
Restoring Hope.
Justify here, Restoring Hope, he goes to the Wood, yeah.
All right, now, when you think about Justify, and, I mean, he's still pretty green with only two races. When did you know he was something special, or can you tell that yet?
No, I mean, we knew he was special going into his maiden race, and so, and then his maiden race was pretty impressive. I mean, he went fast early, and he finished and ran really fast. And so we knew then. And then, you know, we were lucky to get a little allowance race. And, you know, he ran in the mud and slop, and the track was pretty fast. So, I mean, he went around there. He, you know, it was a very workmanlike race. And so, I mean, we know that he's extremely talented, but now you know, now he has to go mile in the eighth against, you know, top competition, you know, horse like Boltiero, who, you know, him and McKenzie were, you know, the top 3 year old. So, you know, so now I think, you know, well, it'll be a good gauge to see where we're at with this horse. And, you know, they're going to mile in the eighth, they're going further now. And so it's going to be a, you know, we'll find out, you know, how he stacks up against, you know, top 3 year old.
Bob, appreciate it, man. Wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from David Grenning with Daily Racing Forum.
Hey, Bob. I just wanted to ask you about Restoring Hope and what made you decide to send him to the wood. And when he took the blinkers off for his last race, did they make such a difference with him?
Well, you know, we've always been very high on this colt, and he ran his, you know, when he ran a really great second down at Los Alamitos, and I ran him back a little bit too soon, and it was sort of a flat race, and so I was trying to get him a couple starts, getting caught up with everything, and so came back, broke his maiden, and then we were supposed to go to Sunland, and he was 2,000 short. He didn't get in, and so it was really disappointing. So he came back and worked really well yesterday, so I thought, you know, it was either, you know, try him. I was looking at the bluegrass or the wood, but, you know, he doesn't have enough fringe. He probably wouldn't have gotten in, you know, so I have to be careful, you know. So we thought, well, we'll go to the wood, and, you know, so it was either him or Solomini, but I think Solomini, I wanted to give him that extra week and go back to Arkansas.
When you took the blinkers off for the maiden race on the second, and it looked like maybe a little bit eager early, but again, then came back to Flavian and finished well. Did you think what made you take him off, and did you think you got the desired?
He was a little bit too keen. He was too keen, wasn't relaxing, and so going long, I just feel like he hasn't been working with blinkers, so he's better without the blinker. He can relax a little bit. You know, he's still a fast horse. I mean, he's got to be up close, but I mean, going long, but I think he's more manageable that way, and so I sometimes he needs blinkers first out or whatever, but he didn't need them.
And last thing, do you think the longer the better? He's going to get another 16th of a mile here. Do you think, you know, like him?
Well, I think you don't know it until you do it, you know, until you do it. So, I mean, I think we're all in the same boat. I mean, we're all hoping, you know, but we're going to find out. We want to find out, you know, what he's made of. Now, he's ready to take on something like that. So I think he should be very competitive. I'm just, you know, you're just hoping they're going to be competitive and they can go that far. But, I mean, he's bred to go, you know, a mile and a quarter, so and he has speed, and he's a beautiful horse. He's just a beautiful, big, strong, beautiful horse. So I feel pretty good that he should run well.
Thank you. Good luck.
Sure.
We'll now take our next question from Art Wilson with Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Bob, can you just talk a little bit about the progression and the development of Solomini heading into Arkansas and what kind of a challenge it's been in training him?
He's always been a challenge because he's a very lazy horse, and, you know, we have to, you know, he's sort of a grinder type, but he's got a huge heart, and he shows up. I mean, he's a horse that, you know, the talent is there, But he likes to grind it out. But he's showing up for every race.
Okay, thanks. Good luck to you.
Sure.
A reminder, that is star one for questions. We'll take our next question from Jonathan Lintner with Horse Racing Nation.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking the time to do this. I was just wondering, you know, putting Justify against Boltiora at this point, maybe how you imagine that playing out, whether, you know, which one of them might want to lead or, you know, how you'll strategize for that race.
Well, I leave that up to Mike Smith. He'll just play the break and get him in, just, you know, all you want to do is get him in a nice, he's a fast horse, you know, but he, you know, last time he got him, you know, he sat off a horse. He's gone to the lead, sat off the horse. So, I mean, we don't know that much about him yet. He's only had those two starts. So he's still, and the horse is still learning. So it's not, I just leave that up to Mike. Mike is pretty, he knows the horse pretty well. He knows, you know, he'll keep him comfortable whatever position, whether it's, you know, I'm sure he's not going to be too far off the lead. He'll be up close here. So, but, you know, I think the break is the key. If he breaks well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And there's all the conversation about when he was able to get to the races. I saw that, you know, going back to his two-year-old year, he was working. Was there something that prevented him from making his debut until he did?
You know, when I got him, I didn't hear anything. So he came in and, you know, he was pretty far along. Came in from Keeneland, and he was in great shape. So, I've never had an issue with him. I don't know why. They never told me why he was late to the races. I'm just very fortunate that I have him.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Take our next question from Bryce Miller with the San Diego Union.
Hi, Bob. I was just curious on your thoughts on kind of the non-traditional road that Mick Ruiz has taken into horse racing, and then that second level of getting to this point, competing for derbies and those sort of things. He hasn't taken what anybody would call a traditional road. What do you think about his path, and what's he like around the barns?
Traditional? Like, what do you mean by traditional road? The horse or the
horse? No, meaning Mick himself. Yeah, Mick, the trainer, just coming out of the business background and, you know, relatively new compared to a lot of you guys, the business your entire lives and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, Mick has a strong passion. He's always been around horses, and he loves it. And finally, he was in a position in life where he was able to get into this business, and he just loves it. I mean, he works hard at it. He's out here early. You know, anybody that puts their money up, you know, you have to give him credit. And he's surrounds himself with good people. And, I mean, he's really enjoying it. And so, you know, he's got a really good horse. And, you know, he's excited, and I don't blame him because he's a, you know, he's both the Oro. He's a big, beautiful horse, and he can really run. And so, you know, he's had a lot of, in a short period of time, he's had a lot of success. So, you know, I always feel anybody puts their money up, I just, you know, got to wish them the best.
One quick follow-up, if I can. He mentioned in a couple of different stories. One, he said when he first started, he was learning so much and asking, his words, dumb questions of people like you, and then saying later that he wants to get to that level and compete and beat Bob Baffert and beat those guys. What do you think about that learning curve he explained? And he kind of drops your name along the timeline when he explains how he's rushed to learn and get to this level and beat you.
Well, I just think that, you know, I think everybody gets in the business, like, set the bar. And when I came in, you know, I wanted to be like Wayne Lucas and Charlie Whittingham. You know, we always look at, you know, who the guys, you know. So he's been... You know, I always talk to him every day, and he's very smart. He's a good student of the game. He picks up. He knows what's going on. He's pretty sharp. I mean, so it's like all trainers when we're coming up, we're watching. I watched all the great trainers. I watched when I first got into business, you know, the Rob McAnally, you know, Charlie, Wayne, everybody, you know. And so, you know, you learn by asking questions. You're not going to learn, you know. I still learn, you know, I'm a better trainer than I was a year ago. You know, we're just students of the game. We're constantly learning, and he's not afraid to ask a question, and you need to be that way. He's very curious, and you kind of succeed in this. You have to be curious in life.
We'll take our next question from Jason Freaks with the Carrier Journal.
Hey, Bob, thanks for taking the time. I was wondering with McKenzie, if things worked out with him and he came back healthy in 2 or 3 weeks, would you have a problem running him in the Derby without another prep race if he were completely healthy?
No, because every day that we miss going to the track, it's, you know, the Derby is a very brutal race, and right now I can't see him making it, because I'm going to have to back off on him. And even though, you know, he looks fine, but I don't want to do anything that jeopardizes health. So I'm just going to, we're going to give him, we'll know more in probably a couple weeks, but I just can't see him. The Preakness would be a long shot, but the Derby, I just can't see it happen.
I'll take our next question from Mike Kane with NBC Sports.
Hi, Bob. When did Justify come into your barn?
He came into Los Alamitos. I just can't remember offhand. It was after Del Mar he came in. But he came into Santa Anita like in January.
We'll take our next question from Van Kushney with Prime Media.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Mendelsohn. Do you think he's for real, or do you think he just took advantage of a track bias? And then also your thoughts on West Coast and Mubtahij. Were you surprised at how well Mubtahij ran, and where will those two horses run back next?
No, I think Mendelsohn, your first question there, Mendelsohn was very impressive, but he's a very impressive-looking horse. I remember him as a yearling. But he's strong. He's a really stout, really carries a lot of flesh, and he's the real deal. I mean, he's fast. He has a lot of speed. And I think he has a very huge chance in the Kentucky Derby. He's just speedy. I mean, I thought he was very impressive when he won at Del Mar that day, but he'll definitely be on the front end. I mean, he's that kind of horse that just will just keep on going and carry his speed, but, you know, a lot of quality there. And Mubtahij, West Coast, you know, they ran, you know, they showed up that night. And Mubtahij, I knew he was really doing well. I really thought he was going to run a big race, and, you know, he runs well there. And so I was proud of both of them. They were, you know, we would like to definitely have won it, but it was, you know, it's tough. It's a challenge to go all the way over there, and you're hoping that, you run well, but the winner was just freaked. You know, he has a lot of quality himself, and he likes it there, been running there, but, you know, we were just second and third best that night.
I'll now take our next question from Lenny Shulman with Bloodhorse.
Hey, Bob. Realistically, you have to run 1-2 with Justify to go to the Derby. Do you take any solace in the fact that Boltiora had to run a real gut wrencher last time? Does that enter into your thinking as far as placing him, and do you think that may improve his chances to actually win the race?
No, the reason it was that he's running here because McKenzie had that slot, and I was going to take him to the other. That was the plan when I broke his maiden. And so when McKenzie wasn't able to make this race, I thought, well, I know, you know, we hate to run against Boltiora because we know it's going to be a tough race. But then it is tough when you do ship all the way to Arkansas so then now he only has a ship if he doesn't run first or second. I mean, it's, you know, we don't want to go to the Kentucky Derby unless we have a really legitimate chance with him. So, he's so talented. He's a gifted animal. And so I think here, at least, we'll know, you know, he runs against a horse like Bolt. You know, we'll know, you know, where we stand.
There are no further questions at this time.
That's
all
it.
Right. Well, Bob, thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on everything, and good luck on Saturday.
Nobody wants to know about Dr. Dorr?
Yeah, we do want to know about Dr. Dorr. Give us the report.
No, I'm just kidding. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
All right.
All right. Well, you just heard Bob and Lenny talking about Boltiora, and our next guest is that Colts trainer, Mick Ruiz, who they got put up in the San Felipe, and he's the current top-ranked three-year-old on the NTRA top three-year-old poll. Mick Ruiz, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and holding on for a little bit there while we got the information from Bob. But now we want to hear about the latest from Bolt D'Oro, and just tell us a little bit about how he came out of the San Felipe. You might have heard there during that conversation, people are going to be concerned about the possibility of that race maybe taking something out of him. What do you think will be his reaction to that race?
You know, he came out of the San Felipe incredible. You know, they can fool you. You know, they can come back and you think that, wow, it didn't do much to him. But, you know, to be honest with you, when we got put up through the disqualification, almost thought I was going to have to carry him there to the winner's circle. He was dead tired. I mean, he gave it his all. But to our surprise, when he cleaned up all his dinner and hasn't missed a meal since, and he's training incredible. I was going to jog him 2 days. It was his first day back from his work today. We jogged, and we were going to have to gallop him tomorrow. He's just too ready to go right now, so we'll take a little bit out with a little gallop tomorrow. But we could not have him coming back out of that race any better. I think he has never been training better than he has since we got him from the farm.
Oh, that's great to hear. And in terms of what you've asked him to do the last few weeks, you know, do you back off at all knowing that you've already got a spot in the Kentucky Derby and that that's the ultimate goal? Or, you know, with a $1 million race and a grade one on Saturday, do you just take it race by race and do what you would normally do?
You know, $1 million race is nice, and being a grade one would be incredible. You know, I can always go to work and make money, so that wasn't the underlying factor to going to any of the Derby. I think I made a mistake going into the Breeders' Cup where I backed off because, you know, we got into like, wow, look what we did in the front runner. What Bolt did. The guy is incredible. Original was 113 buyer, took it down to 100. After the Breeders' Cup, when he had that wide trip and he still was, you know, had bigger speed figures on the other charts, they moved it back up to 103. So, you know, I just think we went in a little too cautious going into the Breeders' Cup, and he trains better when I push a little more on him. You know, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to train Bolt. And, I watch Bob every morning because, you know, wouldn't you want to watch the guy who has the most success? And then I'll watch Mr. McAnally horses, or I'll watch Mr. Drysdale horses and Mr. Mandela's horses, you know, so kind of see how they prepare their horses. And I've seen the best for Bolt, you know, between being too little easy. I think we take the edge off them. Don't want to go really, really hard either. But I think what we got going right now is just what he needs as an individual.
Interesting. And you say you watch Bob's horses train, and I know you were just talking about, in general, learning how they like to train their horses. But have you watched Justify train, and do you have any impressions of that horse coming into this race? You're probably your chief rival on paper.
You know, that I look at that horse train and that horse work, and it's like, wow. Well, I remember back when American Pharoah won before he was going to the Derby, and I told my son, who was once a jockey, I said, you know, I've never seen a horse move more fluently than American Pharoah. And sure enough, he went on to win the Triple Crown. And you look at Justify, boy, he's about as smooth as you want in a horse, and he hasn't did anything wrong. And I'm actually going into this like, we're the underdog here again, you know. So hopefully we can compete against Bob's horse. We know Bob's going to have him good. So we just hope the best for his horse and our horse, and they both come out, you know, of the race safe.
Very good. Well, Mick, I'm going to see what the media's got for you. Kathy, do you want to see who's on the line?
Thank you. And as a reminder, that is star one for questions. We'll take our first question from Danny Brewer with horseracingscoop.com.
Hey, Mick, how are you?
Fine, Danny.
Fine. When you probably spent more time
with Bolt over the last year and a half than anybody. Are y'all friends? Is he like your best friend right now?
Oh man, he's like too much. It's like having your only child, and you want to make sure nothing happens to him, so you worry about him all the time. But you got to let him go out there and skin his knees. You got to let him go out there and play. He's got to play in the dirt so he can be immune to, you know, some viruses. But we know him really good. It's just exciting to have a horse like him. I mean, he stands out in our barn, and we got some real nice horses. But when he walks down the shed row, the horses that are in the front with the webbings, they take a stance back and say, "Hey, Bolt's coming through." It's pretty amazing to watch his presence.
Wow. I mean, I know you've been around the game off and on for a long time. Sometimes do you pinch yourself to say, "Hey, is this really on? Is this really happening?"
You know, it's weird because I have had so many people say we might not ever get here again. But, you know, when I went and purchased them, this is what what I was expecting, believe it or not. But then when you get to this point, you're going, how lucky are you? You know, how lucky are you to be in this point, the sound horse, the ability that he can do. So I'm just going to have to enjoy it. And but anything I did in life and, you know, to my businesses and my kids in sports is, you know, we strive to be the best, and we're just fortunate that we have such a wonderful horse.
We'll take our next question from Art Wilson with Southern California News Group.
Yeah, Mick, before the San Felipe, you said that you had Bolt only about 80% cranked. Is he going to be 100% cranked on Saturday, or are you waiting for Kentucky for that?
You know, I think we'll have a little bit left for Kentucky, if God willing, if we make it there. I'd say he's about 90-95% now. He came back great from the San Felipe. The third race back ought to be his best. You know, we just don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, we hope he runs a nice race on Saturday. You know, a lot of people have been saying, you know, are we going to squeeze a lemon dry? I don't think so. I think he can still run a real hard race, and we're going to be good as long as he comes back sound for Kentucky Derby Day.
We'll take our next question from Louisa Barton with Fox Sports.
Yes. Hi, Mick. Thanks for joining us today. You mentioned watching Bob and being newer, you know, in this game. And what do you think some of the things that you've learned from Bob Baffert just from being around him and watching him train?
You know, one thing I keep saying, the most impressed I am with Bob is, besides me walking by his barn every morning and seeing every accomplishment that anyone would ever want in horse racing, is how he cares so much about his horses and how he stresses every morning. I'm with my wife, and we're there, we train together in the morning. I'm going, look at that. I mean, he's on the phone, and you can tell when he's had a good day. You can tell when a horse has had a good work. And to be able to watch how he must be able to handle this pressure is the most amazing thing I see about Bob, because all we have to do is let down ourselves if when we're in the big race. Boy, he's got owners, other family that of the owners that are all disappointed if the horse don't run good. And for him to be able to handle that pressure, you know, we all know he can train a horse. That ain't the hard part. I don't think Bob does every day. I think it's just being able to handle all the pressure of all the owners. And look, when you get all the horses that he does, there's a lot of pressure on you. And that's what I respect about Bob the most.
There are no further questions at this time.
All right, Mick, thanks for all this great info. Good luck on Saturday, and we'll look forward to seeing you in Louisville in a few weeks.
Thank you.
All right, well, in addition to the Santa Anita Derby on Saturday, we've also got the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct, and your likely favorite in there is the Gotham winner, Enticed. You look at his pedigree and his race record, and this horse is all class. Let's check in now with his trainer, Kieran McLaughlin. Kieran, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you holding on. As I just said, I mean, this horse is all class. On paper, he's got everything you would want from a three-year-old this time of year. Just tell us how excited you are about him, both for Saturday and beyond.
Yeah, he's a real classy horse. It's neat because we trained his mother. It's tricky, and she was an outstanding mare, one of the best fillies we ever trained. And being the D'Aguiladoro, a homebred for Sheikh Mohammed at Godolphin, it's exciting, and he's very talented, does everything right, and we're all set for Saturday.
And can you tell us a little bit more about that pedigree and also just comparing with It's Tricky and you know, there's a lot of speed on that side, but It's Tricky won around two turns, and just tell us about how it all comes together for Entice.
Yeah, Entice has done everything right since they walked in the barn, and he's real classy and real athletic, great bone under him, very athletic, and he's fun to train, he's easy to train, does everything right. So, you know, in the race down here again in the Holy Bull, we felt like he didn't like the one hole that much that day, kind of in tight, took the dirt, and looking back now, maybe he didn't like the one that won it either, Audible. He was pretty impressive winning back to Florida Derby, so the race looks better now than it did then, but he came back and won the Gotham from the nine hole, had a clean face, and we don't think he has to have a clean face, but it worked out that way. The Gotham, and we hope he draws in the middle of the pack Saturday.
And Kieran, this is a pretty deep field of horses that we have coming together for the Kentucky Derby, looking ahead. And can you just give me some thoughts on where you think Entice fits in? He's not getting the same amount of hype as some of the horses, say, on the West Coast, despite having not really done much wrong. He's going the right direction. He won his last race. He's won his last race, you know, clear of the rest of the field. Where does he fit in with everybody right now in the division?
Well, we'll know a lot more Saturday, you know, back to Amame and see how it goes. We feel like he fits in very well. Everybody likes their horse going into the first Saturday in May. We still have to get there, and we're, you know, hopeful for a big race Saturday because the Wood Memorial is a very important race for three-year-olds. It's only a grade two. Hopefully it gets his grade one status back, but he's, you know, we'll worry about May 4th after this Saturday and see how we do. But hopefully if we win Saturday and we're thought of again highly, he won at Churchill. He beat a lot of nice horses and came back to win stake races this year. So we don't have an excuse of not liking Churchill, but he's doing very well, and we put him on top of our list.
Very good. Well, Kieran, I'm going to have Casey, the operator, cue our media here and see what questions they've got for you.
Okay, thanks.
As a reminder, that is star one for questions. We'll take our first question from Tom Padula with America's Best Racing.
Yeah, Kieran, could I just ask you how much Kentucky Derby drives the entire thoroughbred industry? You know, what does it mean to trainers, owners, jockeys to try to win the Derby?
Well, I think it's everyone's dream. The time you get in the business, whether you're a groom, hot walker, exercise rider, trainer, or owner, as in Sheikh Mohammed has always wanted to win the Kentucky Derby, and I feel like no one deserves it more than him to win it. He's done an awful lot for our industry in so many ways. So it's just, I grew up 70 miles from Churchill Downs in Lexington, Kentucky, and it's been my dream since I was old enough to know about horse racing and watching Secretariat run. So it means a lot to everybody, and it's our Super Bowl of the industry.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, that is star one. We have no further questions. Oh, I do apologize. We'll take our next question from Bob Ehalt with Blood Horse.
Hi, Karen. Question involving the with the Gotham going back to a mile. How do you feel the that turn back to the flat mile is going to help set him up for the two turns here in the wood and then down the road for the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, we feel like he's always wanted the mile and an eighth or a mile and a quarter. He's a large colt with a big stride and, you know, very well bred. And we turned back to the Gotham. We weren't sure that was the right move at the time, but it worked out to be the right move. And he likes the cooler weather. He likes that track. And we feel like a mile and an eighth will be perfect. And no negatives. It's all a positive. We feel hopefully we draw well and not 10 of 10 or 11 of 11. It's a mile and an eighth, kind of a short run to the first turn. So in the middle of the pack would be great to draw, and hopefully all goes well going forward.
Take our next question from David Grinning with Daily Racing Forum.
Yeah, Karen, it looks like with a little bit of a revamped lineup here, there could be a good amount of speed in the race. Is that something that you would be happy to see? And how would you describe his finish? Is he a strong kick, or do you think he's a grinder type?
Well, he takes, that's a good question. I mean, I would think that we would have probably preferred not that much pace and been closer, but if there's plenty of pace to entertain each other, then we can sit off of it and sit, you know, fourth, third, fourth, fifth. Junior knows him well. He takes a little while to get going, but once he gets going, he's got a strong finishing kick. So that should set up well for us. We won't be that far back, regardless how much pace is in there, just because that's him.
There are no further questions at this time.
All right, Karen, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. We appreciate the time and wish you luck this weekend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, and finally today we get to talk about the Bluegrass Stakes on opening weekend of the Keeneland Spring Meet. Just a really fun race coming together here. You've got last year's juvenile champion in Good Magic, Keeneland Stakes winner in Free Drop Billy, the Tampa Bay Derby winner in Quip, the Jeff Ruby winner, Blended Citizen, plus horses from Lucas, Pletcher, Asmussen, Hollidorfer, Maker. They just had the draw a little while ago, and our next guest, Mark Cassie, entered two for the race. The Tampa Bay Derby runner-up, Flame Away, drew post 12 and is the 6-1 co-third choice. And Determinant, who broke his maiden on the turf a few weeks ago, is on the also-eligible list, but would be the first one to draw in if there's any scratches. Mark Cassie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to get a quick reaction to the draw, first of all, since it just happened. Probably not what you wanted, but what did you think of post 12 in a field of 14?
You know, like you said, it's not perfect. Could have been worse, could have been better. So we're just going to have to handle it from there.
All right. And Flame Away's had a pretty interesting career. I'm just wondering if you can tell us about, you know, his career overall and trying to find out where he belongs. I mean, he's won on all three surfaces. He likes when a race comes off the turf and you know, he can do it all. So tell me about trying to find what is his game.
Well, so far, pretty well everything's been his game. Winning has been his game. He's an extremely versatile horse, like you said. I mean, we've thrown synthetic at him. I think we threw turf. We've thrown slop. We've thrown dirt. Kind of a little bit of everything. And he usually answers it with a very good effort. And more times than not, he wins.
Excellent. Well, I've got a few more questions for you, but I want to give the media a chance first. So, Cassie, our operator, will check to see if any of them have questions for you.
Okay.
And as a reminder, that is star 1 for questions. Take our first question from Danny Brewer with HorseRacingScoop.com.
Mark, how is everything?
Good, Danny. Thank you.
When you think about Flame Away, is versatility one word that comes to mind with him?
Well, it's definitely one of them. And, you know, and gameness, you know, he's just a pleasure, really. He always shows up, doesn't matter what you throw at him. And every time you throw something at him, he handles it and asks for more.
Take our next question from Rob Longley with Toronto Sun.
Hey, Mark, just wondering, since this guy is Canadian bred, how you sort of manage his schedule so that you keep the opening jewel of both Triple Crowns in play, if that's sort of part of your strategy.
Hey, Rob, long time. Haven't heard from you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We right now, we're concentrating on the Kentucky Derby. The good news is as the races lie, we are able to do both. So right now we're just going to concentrate on the bluegrass and then hopefully the Kentucky Derby. Then there'll be some decisions to be made, but right now we can do both.
Take our next question from David Grinning with Davy Racing Forum.
Mark, I just wanted to ask you, with the determinant, would you look at the wood at all, or are you set on staying at Keeneland? And the secondary, if you did draw in to the bluegrass, because I think Machismo is going to come to the wood, would you run from post 14, or would you just run Friday in the turf?
That's a great question. That's one I'm going to have to discuss with Mr. Oxley. We don't know what to think of this horse. I thought his last win was brilliant. Of course, it was on the turf, but he's bred up for the dirt. If you really look at his last race, how he won, I just don't know. I think he ran of the second through sixth finishers. At behind him, I think he ran an average of something like 65 feet farther than they did. He kind of clipped heels early on. He just ran amazing race. As often we do, you know, there's definitely a little bit of the Derby fever there. I also nominated him to Lexington. I don't see us coming going to the wood. But you never know. To answer your question, very unlikely we'll run from the 14 hole. It's such a disadvantage in the bluegrass, and he's already, he's already got so many things against him. So, but it's something that I'm going to discuss with Mr. Oxley. The Transylvania, I mean, it came up extremely tough as well. So there's no easy spots.
Take our next question from Dan Ralph with Canadian Press.
Thank you, and I'm glad to hear that Rob Longley's all good and well. Blake, Mark, long time no hear. Mark, I'm wondering, the Derby's always been on your radar, but to do it with a Canadian bred horse, given your ties to Canada, what would that mean to you?
Well, I mean, it would be everything, right? It would be my career all tied up in one. I mean, I owe so much of our success to Toronto, to Woodbine, to Canada, to kind of be able to do it and do it with Canadian bred would be the ultimate satisfaction, I guess it would be. And he's don't sell him short. He's a pretty good horse, and he is. I've seen him grow so much from two to three. He's matured. He's got a great attitude. And just hopefully all I ask is that we have a clean trip, and then we'll see what happens. You just would hate to get this close and have something happen similar to what happened to, you know, Classic Empire in the Kentucky Derby. As a horse trainer, you only ask to get there happy and healthy and just let the best horse win. And so that's what that's my hope for Saturday.
Take our next question from Tom Padula with America's Best Racing.
Yeah, hey, Mark. Wanted to ask you, how much does the Derby and the other Triple Crown races drive your industry?
Oh, I mean, I think the Kentucky Derby drives everything. I know it's driven me for 49 years, 48 years. It's always been a driving force. The Breeders' Cup has taken maybe a little bit of that away because it used to be, I think, everybody wanted to win the Kentucky Derby. If you're in Canada, they wanted to win the Queen's Plate. The Breeders' Cup now is also a big deal, but there's still only one Kentucky Derby. And you only need to go and be around for Derby Week and have a contender and understand, you know, what the Kentucky Derby means, not just to horse trainers, but to the world. And you talk to somebody that's never hardly heard anything about racing, I can promise you one thing, they'll have heard of the Kentucky Derby.
We'll take our next question from Rob Longley with Toronto Sun.
Hey, Mark, I had one
twice in one day.
I know, how about that?
Oh, boy.
It just seems like every week now that we're seeing one or two really serious horses emerge on the trail to this year's Derby. What's your impressions of the way the field is shaping up overall, and is it impressive, as impressive as it might look?
You know, I agree, Rob. As of a few weeks ago, I didn't know that there were any true standouts. I know there's been so much talk about California, those horses, and they are good. Take nothing away from them, but they're running in 5 and 6 horse fields. You know, when you're running the Kentucky Derby, it's a different deal. I was very impressed with the Malibu Moon Colt of Todd's that won the I think it was the Rebel. I never remember the horses' names. I always remember the trainers more than anything, or their breeding. And then, of course, the horse that won the Florida Derby this weekend was impressive simply because early on he wasn't running. Johnny was asking him to run, and he kind of fell back. And if you know Johnny, you know Johnny's going to put him into the race. And I thought coming out of the first turn, I said, he'll get nothing. And Johnny put him in a drive from the 5/8 pole. And to win the way he did, he impressed me. Audible did, and so right now, I mean, I think Todd's holding a pretty strong hand. I think the Bluegrass, there's some horses there that are okay, but somebody needs to step up. They're going to have to step up their game if we're going to play with those boys in the first Saturday in May.
Take our next question from Dan Ralph with Canadian Press.
Mark, your thoughts about Good Magic going into this weekend?
You know, I don't know what to think of Good Magic. I think, you know, he ran a great race in the Breeders' Cup, and he's definitely a good horse. But things change from 2 to 3. He still has to prove to, I think, not just me, but to everyone that he belongs. And, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he does. And he comes out running a good race. Obviously, Chad does a great job. I'm sure he'll have him as ready as he can be. And that's all we can ask for. That's all any of us as trainers do is try to have them on top of their game, be the best they can be, and then we'll see how everything works out. But you know, his first race back this year was lackluster. But if you remember last year for Classic Empire, it was the same way. and then he came and redeemed himself. So I don't know what to think. I think if our horse runs his race, we can beat him. So at least I'm hoping so.
As a reminder, that is star one for questions. It appears there are no further... Oh, I do apologize. We'll take our next question from Louisa Barton with Fox Sports.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Louisa?
He's had a few different jockeys. If he makes it to the Kentucky Derby and he runs, who would be your pick for jockey for him? Who would be best
there's
suited?
No question. It'd be Lascano's rode him well and knows him. There'll be no change, win, lose, or draw come Saturday. We're just, all we want to do is have a good, solid race. I think we're going to need a few points to make the Derby. And I just want him, like I said, to have a good, fair shot. After the race, if we get beat and he doesn't run well, then so be it. We'll go to plan B. I just would not like to have things go wrong and him never get a shot. And I have great confidence in Jose, and we've done extremely well together. So that won't change.
We'll take our next question from David Graham with Daily Racing Forum.
Mark, I just want to ask what you would do with Mississippi coming off of the Florida Derby.
I was very happy with Mississippi. I think we were a little close to the pace there. As we saw, the pace just collapsed. My plan right now is to send him to the Pat Day Mile. He's already won at Churchill Downs, so he's going to show up the first Saturday in May. It just won't be in the Kentucky Derby.
It appears there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back to your host for additional or closing remarks.
Mark, before we let you go, you've always been so candid about your horses and giving some impressions. So it's a big stakes day on Saturday at Keeneland Beyond the Bluegrass. Could I just run down for some quick comments on some of these other stakes entrants?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, we got in the Commonwealth, First Premio.
He's a horse that's, really come along. He's a nice horse. We're still kind of searching for his niche. I'm not sure we're going to bring him back in sprinting a little bit. He ran long last time. He's run on the synthetic. He's a horse, though, I think if we can find his niche, will be a really nice horse. I think he's a nice horse.
In the Shakertown, Flash Away.
Actually, I have two in there. I think Flash Away and Commute. Flash Away.
Oh, okay. I wasn't looking at the entries. I was looking at some probables published yesterday, I think.
Flash Away is a horse that was injured. I thought it when he got injured that he was could be one of the better turf sprinters around. He's come. It's been a long road back, but little by little he seems to be getting better, and expect him to run really well. And then I have Commute in there. He's a solid horse. Gave him a break, and he's coming back and training well.
And then on Sunday, Heavenly Love in the Appalachian.
Well, she's the biggest head scratcher of all. We can't figure out. She trains extremely well. She trains extremely well, and then she hasn't run very well. So we're going back to the turf. She broke her maiden on the turf, and we're just searching for answers there.
All right. Well, Mark, thanks for all this info today. We appreciate you coming on, as always, and best of luck this weekend at Keeneland.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark Cassie. My thanks once again to all of today's guests, Bob Baffert, Mick Ruiz, Karen McLaughlin, and Mark. And before we go, I also want to say a big thank you and best wishes to Joan Lawrence, who organized these calls for so many years, and most of you know by now she's officially moved on to retirement, or semi-retirement more likely. She always loved dealing with all of you guys in the media and the horsemen as well. And I know a lot of you adored Joan. So if you want to reach out and send her a congratulations and need her contact info or anything at all, just let me know. I'm happy to send that your way. As always, there'll be audio of this call later today on NTRA.com, and we'll have a transcript up there tomorrow. And always feel free to let me know if there's anything I can do to help with your coverage as we continue on the Triple Crown Trail. And with that, I'll send it back to Cassie to wrap up.
That concludes today's presentation. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.